Good day, nerds, and welcome to episode 125 of the Nerd Cantina Show. And I'm your host, Ken, joined by my co-host, Steve, and we're going to recap some nerd news. We're going to start in entertainment and give a few more thoughts on the Wonder Woman 1984, talk about all of these rumors surrounding the upcoming Batman movies, and then move into tech and talk about some studies regarding video games, new drone laws, and a long autonomous drive from San Francisco to LA. A lot to get to. Let's get started.
Calling back all nerds.
Nerds!
All right, and we're here with episode 125. And, you know, not a ton happening in the world with entertainment or anything else, so we might as well spend a few more minutes talking about Wonder Woman 1984.
Yeah, I think everyone was just so happy to get out of 2020 that the world kind of just slowed down for a little bit. Everyone took a deep breath, you know, just like, and just nothing really happened last week.
Yeah, so Wonder Woman 1984, you know, continues to just get beat in the public eye about just what a mess that movie was. But one of my favorite criticisms that I was actually kind of disappointed in myself that I didn't think of when watching the movie was that really at the heart of this movie, it turned the virtuous Wonder Woman into a rapist.
I kind of love this article. I mean, I kind of do. You know, like, can we hashtag Me Too Wonder Woman? is that what we can do now?
It's weird that I didn't, like I said, it's weird that my brain didn't go that direction. And I think it's just that classic, the way we think about like men when it comes to these sexual encounters. Like, you know what I mean? Like if there's a body swap movie and it was the woman, everybody would be thinking oh my goodness, they just had sex with somebody else's body. Like,
yep.
Everybody would be thinking that, but the very fact that like it was just kind of like, well, this is weird.
Yeah, there's no dude that feels sorry for that dude. like even if he was a subconscious trapped in the guy's brain, you got to be with Gal Gadot. No one's feeling sorry for you right now, bro.
Yeah, like I said, the biggest thing is it is just disappointing that I didn't think of it, but it's 100% true.
They made her consent. Kind of an ass in this movie. Like, she was a dick.
Oh, yeah. She was a terrible person across the board.
Like, you know, cheated in the race as a kid, then got older and is really just kind of like ignorant as fuck to everybody that she encounters. Like, any dude that's just like, hi, she's gonna fuck off. she don't care. You know, she uses Kristen Wiig's character, like befriends her, but really only befriends her to try to get close to the stone. And like, yeah, just is an overall kind of shitty person the entire film.
Yeah. And didn't think twice about when her old man was test riding somebody else's body just to put some work on it.
And they make it seem like all she can see is Chris Pine. Like, all I see is you. And then it turns into Chris Pine and it's Chris Pine the rest of the movie. But like, we all know, we all know what you really saw. Like, you saw the other dude. Like he may have had the mannerisms and the lingo and everything of a World War II, you know, vet. But when you looked at him, he was and Chris Pine's not tall either. The other dude was pretty fucking tall.
So somebody in the group posted the YouTube video, the pitch meeting. I can't remember the YouTube channel.
I haven't watched it yet.
It's great. And he poked so many spectacular holes that we've talked about in just such a clean, concise manner. I appreciate that guy's work. But one of the things he talks about is like, so Chris Pine had a body swap because the stone can't create things in people, right? And he's like, oh no, the stone does throughout the entire movie. It creates walls, it creates nuclear weapons, it creates whatever the fuck it wants. And it's like, well then why didn't it just bring back Chris Pine? Why did it do this weird body swap thing? Nah, let's not think about that.
No.
It's honestly a phenomenally well done pitch meeting
I know, if you
want to shit on this movie for 8 more minutes, I suggest you YouTube Wonder Woman 1984 pitch meeting, or go to thenerdcantina.com/community to see what somebody posted, the link there, and it is great.
But you honestly have to wonder, like, what the fuck goes on in these WB meetings? Like, it is not like a couple one-offs where you're like, hey, you didn't get this one, buddy. Like, just, we'll try again. Like, consistently for decades, they have just put together trash movies with some of the strongest and most known titles in all of nerddom.
Yeah, well, and all the stories are coming out that, like, you know, the studio and Patty Jenkins were fighting over, you know, what scenes to cut, and she was fighting to keep certain things in and to get what she wanted out of this. And it's like, lady, I don't think you realize that you're hurting your resume right now. Like, like, have you not seen the Rotten Tomato scores?
Take the out when you get it.
Yeah, take it and just be like, man, DC just fucked this. DC did DC. Like, sorry, everybody.
DC gone DC. Like,
no, the very fact that she keeps talking about how hard she fought to have this movie end the way that it ended this time, because she didn't get the ending she wanted in the first one. The ending was the worst part. The ending was absolutely trash. And then to fight that she kept, you know, she fought so hard to keep certain action scenes. It's like, oh, those action scenes wasted time. They actually did not in any way provide any depth to the character. They weren't even well done. Like,
well, it's really hard to, like, to justify the choices they make, like even their special effects team. So it's like the same week we get a young Luke Skywalker walking onto Slave One, you know, like just looking good as hell, is the same week we get just like the abominations of, you know, Cheetah and everything that they do with their CGI. Like we know the technology is there. It's like the dude from like 2006 has just been at the helm and just won't let anybody update their computers, won't let anybody like download any new programs. They're still on Windows 7.
Like, yeah, I don't know. Maybe they were just trying to stay true to the 1984, sticking with real low tech there. But in the end, I think we've shit enough about this movie. If you are yearning for more, again, go check out the pitch meeting. Steve, you should do it as well.
Yeah, I meant to click it today. I just, something happened. I said I'd get back to it. I do have intentions of watching that, though. I do always like those.
All right, and then I guess we could just keep talking about DC and trying to figure out what the hell's going on in those studios. And the next is really, you know, started with a bunch of rumors of, you know, what Batmans are going to continue to exist. There were rumors of, you know, Michael Keaton coming back, Ben Affleck coming back. We know Robert Pattinson's moved forward. Nobody knows. Well, now it's confirmed that their intention is to continue to release two separate Batman stories, moving the Batman franchises along separately. That you've got the DC Extended Universe, which is the Ben Affleck Batman, and then you've got the Robert Pattinson, which is separate. And then confirmation that Michael Keaton's Batman is going to somehow be brought in when Flash destroys everything in the movie next year.
So, as you said, you know, Robert Pattinson's in. There's also rumors that he's ready to kill the director, that the director is in like over controlling.
Like, this is like, we got this covered type stuff. I try not to click on those articles and dive into them, just based off of, like, those are the same people that were talking about the fact that, you know, Mando is going to get shut down and never see the end because of Pedro Pascal.
I saw it from two different sources, yeah, so I kind of thought it might be true.
They normally cite the same original source, and it's normally
Bob, you know, from accounting.
No, it's normally We Got This Covered or Doomcock. Like, it's one of those two trash-ass websites.
But I could see it, though, with how everything's been going with these franchises, the corona delays, the Tom Cruise flipping out on people. Like, tensions are high. Like, on these movie sets, tensions are high. He's had to stay in Batman shape now for a long time.
Like, I mean, that's true.
Like, and that's what I kind of figured, is that.
And there was all those rumors at the beginning of this that they even delayed production because he didn't bulk up to Batman size to even get started on time.
Yeah. So then if you finally got that big and they're right in the middle of shooting, they're like, hey, we got to take like a 4-month break, and we're going to need you to just stay ripped.
Just keep the steroids coming. We don't know when we're coming back. So just keep it regular there.
I'm 100% convinced all these actors are on HGH. Straight HGH.
Why not? You know what I mean? At that point in time, why not? There's no regulatory body that's going to take away your championship.
Oh, yeah. Like it's like a stripper with fake tits. You really don't care.
Yeah. Like, why not?
You really don't care. I'm just here to look.
So yeah, in the end, all of this kind of gossip is coming out. But what they have announced is they're definitely going to continue the Batman universes, continue them out separately, bring some of it, tie some of it together. We know with kind of like Flashpoint, Batfleck's definitely still around in that in the same universe as where the Flash is moving forward. We get Flash coming out in 2022, and they've also stated that. What they're doing is, so a quote coming that was told to the Times was that with every movie that we're looking at now, we are thinking, what's the potential HBO Max spinoff? So like, and they're intending on these minimum 2 movies coming out in the Batman universe every year. And then what can they flow and spin off coming out of it? They're already talking about John Cena playing that peacemaker role coming out of the Suicide Squad, which... I think I like John Cena, like when he's doing the wrestling stuff. I hate to see him as an actor. Like, he's terrible.
I actually enjoyed him in that. What's that movie where he's the dad and all the daughters? Name of that movie. But
I skipped it. I can say that. Whatever that is, I skipped it.
I laughed, and he was probably my favorite character in that movie. He had to butt chug a beer. And John Cena, like, I saw John Cena butt chug a beer. Like, I see you.
I think this character, you know, the peacemaker in the Suicide Squad is it's pretty much John Cena's like wrestling persona. It's really just a ripped, pretentious douche. Like, that's the character. So I think he'll be okay in that.
How does the company that has like the 3 most iconic characters in all of comics just have like the worst B-string of characters ever imaginable? Like, you got Batman, you know, Superman, Wonder Woman, Flash, Green Lantern. Like, the core is dope as hell. Then you got like Blue Beetle, fucking Peacemaker. You know, like they just fail so hard on the second string that it is laughable. It is. I mean, I'm sure I'm going to anger a lot of DC fans.
I was going to say, somebody's going to come at you with your choices there. Somebody's a huge Blue Beetle fan.
Yeah, some big Jonah Hex fan. Oh God, they're the worst.
But the most telling thing is it does this whole storyline kind of hinting that they're giving in some of these press releases just shows that they are so deeply committed to the just splitting and just bastardizing this DC universe as fractured as possible to produce as much as possible, largely with the goal of promoting HBO Max. Like, HBO Max is this linchpin for the WB DC plan. And
they see what Disney and Disney Plus are doing. It's like, hey, they're making a bunch of money. Like, we got a bunch of things over here. Why don't we do the same thing? Because you suck. That's why. That's why you don't do the same thing, because you suck.
Yeah. Well, we'll see as it moves forward into, you know, what's the next thing coming out. We've got
how many episodes of Doom Patrol you got under your belt, pal?
Yeah, none yet. I haven't started it yet. Titans either. I haven't done any of that stuff.
I'm
still in my 1 month that I paid for HBO Max, so I need to give them a try.
I bought the actual Blu-ray of the first season of Titans because it was before they put it on HBO Max, and I did it just for Sean Young over at Taken E versus Marvel versus DC, and I did it for him. And I still have not gotten onto episode 2. Like, I can't.
Oh, that's bogus of you. You can't stop after episode 1.
I paid money for it. I know. And I still can't finish it.
Like, yeah, well, I haven't even tried it yet. It's definitely not even in my queue. I'm not in any way interested, really. But
the minute they had Robin do like the hard back in that, you know, backwards look in the dark alley and look like directly at the camera and be like, fuck Batman. I was just like, I'm out.
Before you even started talking about it, I knew exactly the scene you were setting up. I just knew it.
It's fucking trash.
All right. Speaking of potential trash,
we just shit on DC for like 15 minutes straight.
We got more, though. We've got more. Don't worry, guys. So the next to come out is Justice League. You know, the Snyder Cut is the next to come out. It's the next portrayal we're going to see out of any DC movie. And it's where, you know, we're going to see that one and only probably portrayal of Ray Fisher as Cyborg. Because this week, Ray Fisher has come out quite strongly against the fact that he has stated that he will never participate in any DC movie as long as the head of DC Films is involved.
Who's
all right?
Who's the worst group? The group of people sitting around thinking that this movie's gonna save this cut is gonna save this movie, or the people that still think that Trump's gonna be elected, still be president after January 20th? they're like the same people. They're just
two
sides of the same coin.
I mean,
you were hoping for just despair and let down. Like that's all. Like which groups could be saltier come February?
I think in the end, I think that the people who have the better chance of being satisfied are going to be the people waiting for the Snyder Cut, because at least that's going to happen. So you're going to get the Snyder Cut, and you know Ray Fisher was very vocal about all of the nonsense taking place, about the chaotic environment and harsh environment created by Joss Whedon, and how tough the filming was, and made some other allegations about, like, you know, Joss Whedon unnecessarily affecting like the skin color of other black actors in post-production, and all kinds of stuff that he has stated is just completely unprofessional. And you know, the DC did that investigation, which came out to be nothing other than really like a slap on the wrist to Joss Whedon, which, like, okay, you know, none of the producers were really named as a negative person within that. And Joss Whedon's now just putting it all on Walter Hamada, who is, and saying that he is the enabler who allowed all this to happen, and he'll never participate in any production if it's associated with him. And I feel like somebody should just hold up, like, should just send Ray Fisher a meme of War Machine in Iron Man 1 and the rest of the franchise that he was missed. Like, dude, this is going to move on without you. Like, you are not the linchpin here. Like, nobody cares about you.
Ask Terrence Howard how that went for him. Like,
so somebody should just give him a crying picture of Terrence Howard and, you know, Empire, whatever else, next to Iron Man 1, and how much money did he miss out in not finishing this out. So it's like, okay, go ahead and, you know, ride that high cybernetic horse of yours.
How great would it be if they got Cheadle too? It would be the greatest fucking thing I've ever seen, honestly. If they just insert Cheadle in everything. Oh, God, it'd be great.
Whatever. I guess you got to stand up for something. You know, that's fine. But in the end, I mean, your colleagues aren't standing up with you. You know, yes, there have been allegations that, and other people have said that, yeah, it was a tough environment, but nobody else is saying that this was so terrible. I don't know. He's definitely going to lose, and potentially lose big. I don't know if he was ever going to get his own Cyborg movie, and if he was really going to be this big actor. I mean, for the most part, they only used about like 7% of you.
Yeah. Well, and let's be honest. Like, if you don't put the actor who played Cyborg after his name, nobody knows. Nobody knows who you're talking about. Nobody knows.
It's true. I did preface this whole story with like Ray Fisher, Cyborg from Justice League, because. Yeah, you can't just say, like, hey, Ray Fisher's walking. Yeah, walking Ray from Fisher's what? Like, who's walking, Ray Fisher?
What happened to his car? Oh, God.
All right. 2021, yes. We're full of
2021. 21 straight minutes of shitting on DC. This is fucking... Some people going to be mad. Some people are going to be mad. Oh, God, I love it, though. Do better. Just do better. Yeah. Just do better. Like, I feel like it's that lazy dog you poke with a stick. You're just like, do something. Do something. Be better.
I think that's it. I think we got the DC out of us for
We got a little bit of gaming and science article to talk about. So let's stop beating this dead horse.
Yeah. So we've got an article that came out from Gamerant, and it was highlighting a study that's recently come out that shows it was a 10-year study with 500 participants that they followed in this group, and they started following them around like an average age of 14 years old, followed them for 10 years, and they had them fill out periodic questionnaires about how much gaming they're doing, as well as like behavioral questionnaires to find out changes in patterns as far as questions that are looking at certain things like anxiety, depression, aggression, and stuff like that. And over the 10-year study, which this is like the longest and largest study of its kind, there's been many studies trying to link video games to aggression, trying to link video games to certain mental characteristics. And this came out and said there's no scientific evidence or correlation that shows that playing aggressive video games, they were looking at like specific games like the Call of Duties, like the Grand Theft Autos, looking at these games that have kind of just free-for-all aggression and violence. No link whatsoever towards actual violent tendencies, aggressive behavior, or aggressive attitudes in these questionnaires.
I mean, this is a subject we've covered since what, episode like 7, when we had Dr. Rachel Coward on?
For the most part, we were looking at We did look at a little bit of aggression, and in our talk where we spoke to the panel, we did talk a little bit about aggression, but a lot of it was about mental health in general, like depression and things like that. I think this is the first one that was just dedicated really to aggression.
Yeah. Either way, the stereotypes of all the negatives that come from, excess gaming or stuff, we're finally, having the studies done in the length of time that it takes to actually be worthwhile, of actually talking about. They're all starting to come out and tell us what we kind of already knew, is that a video game isn't going to make you any certain way. Just like, they said the same thing with music. They say the same thing with movies, and it's never true. Video games, the stigma has held a lot longer, I would say, than any music or movie themes. I'm just glad that people are still doing these studies and posting the results, and hopefully people take this a little seriously, because I just hate any time there's a mass shooting and they just say, well, he played Call of Duty on hours, or blame GTA for stupid shit like that. I just, it's frustrating.
Yeah, and I don't think this is in any way the end of that kind of criticism. Again, it's a fairly like intuitive leap to make, when people just make the assumption that if you consume more violent things, you are desensitized to violence, so you're more prone to be okay with violence. It's the same concept with the shooters, the mass shooters playing violent video games. It's not that the violent video games make them violent, but it's that when they're violent, they're not turned off by the sight of blood anymore. They're not turned off by the sight of shooting human beings, because they've been conditioning their mind to see human beings hit the floor after getting shot. There have been studies that have shown that. That's why police forces and certain things train with certain type of targets, train with certain type of simulators and stuff like that. But in the end, there's no link to the fact that it's going to cause violence, train people to do violence, make people more aggressive, make people more violent in the first place. Their natural tendencies still remain fairly natural and not tied to the video games they play.
And I'm glad they did it, for 10 years, so you could actually see, decent progression. I think a lot of these studies were rushed initially. They're just trying to get certain results and they rush them. The fact that they followed these kids for a decade and did this periodically through, I'm glad to see that people are studying it that long.
Yeah, and the only kind of trait that they did say that was they felt were somewhat linked to the video games were feelings of anxiety tied to video game playing. That the more anxious players tended to be the more the individuals that consumed more video games in general. And so that was the only thing that they saw in the 10-year span as far as any kind of negative behavior. At least what I saw in the summary of the study is just a correlation or tie from those who played the most video games over the 10-year period, who increased their video game playing over time. They tended to be the same ones that were more anxious over time as well. Who knows what that means? All right. And let's keep moving right along into a little more tech. And this week, it was kind of a small headline, but it actually has pretty big implications looking at the U.S. and the FAA is now allowing, like the original headline was that they're allowing small drones to fly over people during the day and night. So there were significant regulations over the use of drones, not being able to fly them over people's heads, which was kind of the big barrier to, everybody saw years ago the Amazon Prime drones that were, they were all over headlines and trying to demonstrate their capability. And in the end, it wasn't the drone technology that couldn't deliver. It was the fact that they couldn't fly over people's heads. So how are you ever supposed to get to a residence to deliver via drone if the FAA wasn't going to allow that kind of flight? So now we get actual FAA regulation that's allowing it to take place. And that was kind of the first step of this article. But there's a lot more to this bill than just that.
Yeah. I'm really kind of like on the fence of where I fall on a lot of this stuff, because I see the need for regulation, but I also know how shitty government is at regulating stuff like this. Like, you know, fireworks are illegal, but it's fucking 11:30 on a goddamn Tuesday in mid-December and somebody asshole's blowing a goddamn quarter stick off at the goddamn corner. You know what I mean? And like, nobody cares. Nobody cares. Nobody does anything about it. You know, so like,
yeah, I think that the average everyday drone user, it didn't necessarily stop them in the first place. And this isn't going to all of a sudden allow them to go. What it does is it opens up like commercial drones. It definitely changes how the commercial drones are going to get regulated, because, you know, Amazon, they're not going to necessarily skirt the laws, because that's a huge operation that they're trying to keep going.
Yeah. I mean, I see a need. Like, I do see a need. We can't just let people be flying crazy shit over people. Like, it can't be the Wild Wild West in the air with how advanced drones are going to get and affordable they get. And every asshole with a stimulus check can buy one. Like, you need to really give a shit about it. The government sucks at this stuff. They just suck.
Yeah, they do. Some of the areas that have already been kind of questioned is a part of the regulation is, so this starts, I think, 60 days from whenever this regulation begins, which is supposed to begin, I think, this month. So within 60 days, it's pretty open skies. And then within 18 months, all drone manufacturers have to start programming all of their drones with a remote ID, and it has to broadcast a remote ID signal. So that way each drone can be tracked. It also has to, the controller, the pilot, also has to transmit a remote ID that can be tied to that drone. So the same remote ID as the drone is. So that way it can always be linked on who's piloting it and who is in control.
They're essentially trying to give every drone like an IP address, like something that they can go back and
essentially, the type of like beacons, the identifying transponders that take place on planes. So that way they can be tracked by the FAA, by police organizations, by whatever it happens to be. This has already gotten immediate criticism from Google, who the Alphabet company has an arm of Alphabet. You know, what doesn't the Alphabet invest in? Of course, they're invested in drones. They have a part of Alphabet, which is called Wing, and they're a delivery platform looking to work with Walgreens and other major commercial operations to do drone delivery. And they've immediately come out and criticized the FAA's decision, because this remote ID that they've regulated into it is essentially an open channel radio broadcast. So that means it doesn't require any kind of like sophisticated way to track it. So anybody can pick up that signal and identify where your drone is going, when your drone is landing, and where it's coming to.
You fly a PS5 over my house, I'm going to hack that bitch and drop it off in my crib.
That's a part of what Google is criticizing, right? It would be not difficult at all for somebody to sit around a neighborhood and track when packages arrive and go snatch those packages off your porch, knowing that, hey, drone just landed here, drone just left here, I can go get it. It wouldn't be that difficult. They're open channel broadcasted things based off of the way the FAA wrote this this regulation. Also, it kind of defeats your personal privacy in the sense that you, where you're broadcasting your signal from, is also open to be tracked back to. So wherever you're controlling this drone from, which might be your bedroom, it might be, you know, you don't necessarily have to be in out in open sky for a lot of these drones that they're talking about. The drones that have to be tracked are greater than half a pound. Half a pound is actually pretty, it's a decent sized drone. So these might be
I don't know enough about drones to know the implications of that. I've looked at the price of some at Best Buy, and I have a few friends with them that make some pretty dope videos and have kids that play like Little League and stuff and have like drone footage of their kids' Little League games. And like, not gonna lie, bro, I want to be that dad.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I definitely want a sweet drone.
Like, not to mention they got some of the dope ones that you could just throw in the air and it follows you around. Like, I get some really good golf shots. You know, I'm trying to work on my swing, man. I'm trying to get some angles.
this has gotten a lot of criticism. So back in 2019, when they were first looking at remote ID and how they were going to identify aircraft, Google wasn't opposed to, like, the FAA should know what's flying in the air, be able to track what's flying in the air, and provide some kind of regulation and control of that. They weren't against that. What Google and some of these other major companies were trying to get the FAA to do was require it to use essentially like IP-based, internet-based tracking systems. And that would provide greater privacy because then it would just obviously go somewhere. Your data would be tracked somewhere that would be secured through the internet, and the average person with just kind of a scanner in your neighborhood wouldn't be able to tell.
I mean, I see a need with drones flying into houses possibly or causing accidents on the road, or there's a lot of mayhem that a drone could essentially cause through either, you know, intentional or accidental mayhem. And it should be.
And we're not talking about like actual threats, right? Like,
yeah,
actually weaponizing these things.
Yeah. We're just talking about basic fucking like drone flies through my front fucking window. You know what I mean? Like, cause some kid just lost his shit and doesn't know how to fly it. Like that stuff. We do need to know that, you know, who this drone belongs to, where, you know, like it, I see a need for that, but at the same time, like Google says, like you, like the, it almost needs to be like the government just rolls it out and says, look guys, we need a tracking system. You guys figure it out, rather than the government saying, here's what we're going to do, because they are going to have the worst solution possible. Like you said, it already Google's like, look, no, we can't do your idea. Cause your idea, people are going to be jacking drones like crazy. There's gonna be hillbillies and pickup trucks hunting drones. Like, hey boy, you want to go drone hunting today? And you're just gonna drive around with shotguns and shoot down drones. And I just came up with that right now because that sounds fun as fuck. I know it's gonna happen. I actually do. You know, so like we need like almost the private sector to like. Just give, be like, look, y'all got 3 years or we're going with the drone hunting scheme. If you don't come up with something better in 3 years, that's what we're doing. But at least let the eggheads find a system before, you know, whoever in bureaucracy is ready to throw down the gauntlet. I just, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there were legit criticisms to the cellular network type IP tracking, mostly because of like costs and adding a cellular modem or cellular type of capability to drones would be costly and everything else. But it's like, I don't know. My kid's got a $20 watch on Amazon that I have a cellular card in and I can call her whenever she's out of the house in the neighborhood. Like, if you're buying a drone, I think you can handle that watch attached to your drone. I think you can do that. It's not that, it's $5 a month. It's not that bad. I think the cost argument on why the FAA backed out of this and just said that they went with a dumber system, just radio transmission, and it doesn't require is a really dumb one to kind of just make this to where anybody can track it at any time. So I'm actually on board with Google. It's weird. It's weird, right? Google making the privacy claim citizens it just feels so dirty, right?
Because they know we're going to be jacking their drones. If this goes through, we're going to be jacking their drones. That's what they know. That, like, it took me literally 3 minutes to come up with drone hunting. And I'm not going to lie, like, that would be fun as shit if I was a drunk 23-year-old with nothing better to do and plenty of shotgun ammo, I am out.
Yeah, I it's definitely going to happen. There's no doubt that that's going to happen somewhere in this country.
Oh, man. Well, no, it's something to care about, folks. We always like to have a few stories of something that you as a private citizen should give a shit about. And, you know, you might want to care about this one.
Yeah, maybe one day you want a drone.
Or you want your package actually to be delivered to your home.
Yeah. All right, and then let's go with the next story here is a good step forward for Tesla and the full self-driving mode in the beta. There was somebody who, this is posted by Tesla Rati. It's kind of a famous like Tesla blogging, Tesla following site. And they showed a video and demonstrated a full self-driving beta test being driven from San Francisco City to LA without a single bit of human intervention. You know, just more to show, we talk about this a lot, the technology is fully available, fully there. And once we get out of our own way, when I talk about like regulation, I think this is going to be fairly straightforward to bring to mass market here.
Yeah, I kind of felt like a dick today because an old work friend posted that he just got his A-Class CDL today. And like literally like 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I was talking to my new apprentice. He's a 19-year-old kid. And I was telling him, like, he was like, yeah, I was thinking about getting my CDL. I was like, that's the dumbest thing you could do right now. I was like, getting your CDL is the dumbest thing you could probably do as a career choice right now. And I explained to him about, you know, automation and driving, that we're probably 3 to 7 years away from fully autonomous trucks, that, you know, 3.5 million truck drivers are estimated to be out of job in the next 5 years. And, you know, he posted that his CDL certificate and everybody was congratulating him. And I'm just like the one dick that I didn't comment or anything, but I just kind of just want to be like, bro, I'm sorry. Like you're going to be not going to be able to find a job in like 3 to 5 years. Like, you just spent all this time and money thinking you're making a good career choice. And I don't blame you for doing it, you know, but it's coming, man. It's coming fast.
I mean, he just needs to not sign up for a long road, you know, company, freight company doing long road miles. And he needs to sign up for those inner city routes and learn.
You need to drive them beer kegs at that liquor store.
That's no joke, right? That's where the future of trucking will be. Is from transportation hub to the terminal drop-off point. There's still places in this country that I'm a firm believer that nobody's ever going to trust the trucks to go in. Like, nobody's going to, in the downtown parts of certain cities in this country,
When the companies start making that kind of money, I firmly believe they will invest in roadways, in infrastructure for it.
You're looking 30 years out then, right? So he's fine for now.
Yeah, well, a 19-year-old kid getting a CDL should give a shit. my friend is old, and he's doing it as an end-of-his-life kind of career, you know, but that 19-year-old apprentice I was thinking about getting that CDL, yeah, no, you should probably give a shit that in 30 years there will be no such thing as a fucking truck driver. You're just going to be a delivery man sitting in a car waiting to get to the stop to unload that fucking keg. If there ain't a goddamn Boston Dynamics robot already fucking doing it.
Yeah, so I didn't put that on the outline, but did you see them dancing Boston Dynamics robots?
You know I did, man. I love them robots. I love them robots.
Man, they move so much better than I do. They move so much better than I do.
Man. We're on the same page.
Yeah. If you could just put like one of those mech suits on me and then let me go to the club, I might not look so weird there.
Oh, God. That's the future. That's the future of quarantine, is those robots with iPad faces, and we're all just virtually at the club turning up. Just Ready Player One me with this fucking Boston Dynamics robot, and I'm gonna get down.
If you don't know what we're talking about, you could check out our show notes or just go over to nerdcantina.com/community, because all this stuff is existing in our shenanigans that are shared and posted and dumped on there by the many members of the group there.
Yeah, bro, they were getting down.
for sure. And then like halfway through the video, the dog comes out and starts syncing up with him. That got creepy though. That kind of, I still don't like seeing that dog.
And still with, one with of the first,
like a weird arm coming out doing
one of the shit. First things I thought of when I seen him dancing, like, oh, you ain't kicking that robot over. That's sort of the first thing. I was like, if I just drop kick that thing, I don't think it would go down.
No, God, no.
Like, that thing had great coordination and balance. I really think I could take like a 5-step drop kick and that thing would just take it 3 steps back, puff out its chest, and get all down again.
All right. Well, so that's all that I had on my outline, but we've got a Google document here that that we share off of, and somewhere in the middle of this show, Steve, you typed in U.S. in talks with Galactic Federation.
Have you not seen any of those articles?
No, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. So you have not seen any of those articles.
You're
on the lead here.
It all stems from that dude, that Israeli army officer.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. So there's an actual Israeli army officer that has come out and said.
We talked about it like 3 weeks ago.
He is in contact. So stemming from that interview, he has also said that multiple heads of nations have talked to the Galactic Federation. And they have decided that, like, as soon as we're ready, they will make themselves known. And mysteriously, in the appropriations bill, there was like a line in the appropriations bill that like said that the government has to divest the recent contact with aliens, and it was like a quick line. Everyone's sharing it. Like,
oh, I haven't seen that at all.
Oh, yeah. Just Google Galactic Federation. It's going to be the first thing that fucking comes up. I promise you that.
I'm going to have to do that from like an incognito browser. I don't want that becoming a part of my algorithm here.
Yeah. You got to treat it like space porn.
I'm going to do that from a like kid's tablet. Let them start getting that conspiracy theory shit sent to them.
Man, like, yes. Is it tinfoil hat? For sure. It's Nerd Cantina tinfoil hat. But, I mean, at some point, you gotta think it's just as plausible as if we're living in a simulation.
Like, no, I'm just waiting for when this Israeli guy just like enlightens us all and just tells us how like really COVID-19 was dropped here by those aliens as a test, because they just thought like, hey, we're gonna drop this pandemic here. The world's gonna unite together. They're gonna demonstrate that they're ready to just.
Nah, man.
Put all their shit aside for the greater good.
When's inauguration again? January 20th.
Yeah,
January 19th. It's coming out in tweets. It's all coming out in tweets on January 19th. Dropping bombs.
Yeah, this is a demonstration that mankind is not ready. We're not ready to handle
Trump is going to drop it all on Twitter aliens. January 19th. I promise you that. Yeah, we're gonna get Grassy Knoll. We're gonna get moon landing stage. We're gonna get all the juicy shit January 19th. That Twitter is gonna be lit January 19th. I promise you it for sure will be
in like, I don't know. Is the actual inauguration, like the actual swearing in, the end of his time? Because I don't think that's till like the afternoon. Like, yeah, that, no, that the morning
minute,
is gonna
the
be
minute
nuts.
Biden gets sworn in, they're calling the earpieces, and they will have to drag him out kicking and screaming the minute he touches that Bible and says, "A woman," as he gives his inaugurational speech.
I'm not touching that here at the end of the show.
Nope. I'm just going to drop that and let it marinate in the room.
All right. Well, I think that's a weekend news here. And I don't know if you got a moment, share this with somebody. Let's get the Nerd Cantina a couple more listeners, a couple more people to join the group. Let's build out the community.
I think tomorrow on Self Promo Tuesday, I'm going to do a big rating review push. I'm going to spam the Facebook group with our Apple Podcast link and just beg people for ratings and reviews.
We should go pick a couple of the reviews and read them. shamelessly at the end of an episode or something. Let's see if somebody left some gems in there. As far either positive or negative, I don't care at this point.
I asked Rami to leave me a Google review on my company website, and he sounded like an Indian man.
He was absolutely a bot.
Steve, come do good work on house. I was like, bro, what are you typing here? So I don't know if any of the people we know that's left one on there could be too reputable. I think we're gonna have to yeah. beg and plead.
Actual grassroots campaign here. All right, well, grassroots, us give us a rating review. Take a minute and do so. We appreciate it greatly. And I guess until next week,
2021.
Yeah, 2021. Here it is. All our problems are gone.
Let's kick this year in the dick.
All right, we'll talk to you next week, nerds.
See ya.